This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We hope you are enjoying the Christmas holiday. Today, we revisit an interview that first aired in November. Upjohn Employment Institute economist Tim Bartik has extensively studied and written about the benefits of high-quality preschool. His latest book on the subject is called From Preschool to Prosperity, The Economic Payoff to Early Childhood Education. Tim Bartik, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with the basic question that almost every author gets asked when they put out a book. Why a book? And of course, in your case, why another book on a subject that you've already written extensively about?
I wanted to write another book in part because I wanted to write a book that was more accessible to a general audience. This book is a lot shorter than my 2011 book. It can be read in an hour and a half. It's available free on the Upjohn Institute website. So we wanted a book that was very accessible. And of course, the other thing is there's been issues that have developed since 2011 that I wanted to address. Some pushback against preschool has occurred from some quarters. I wanted to respond to some of that. And there's been some new research I wanted to add. And so I wanted to basically write a book that would address the key issues in 2014 in a way that was very accessible to as many readers as possible.
Broadly speaking, what does the research show about high-quality preschool and the benefits down the road for those children who partake in it?
Well, what the research shows is that not only does preschool prepare kids better for kindergarten, and we see that from a wide variety of research studies, but it improves adult outcomes. Employment rates go up, earnings goes up. As a result, you're going to have people paying more money in taxes, and so there's going to be a better fiscal situation for the government, you know, receiving less money in welfare. There's less crime. And there are important spillover benefits for the overall economy. One of the things I emphasize that not only do the participants in preschool benefit, but building up skills has spillover benefits for the whole economy, that my wages will be higher if other people have higher skills. And why is that? Because if my coworkers have higher skills, my employer is going to be better able to introduce new technologies. Isn't it? You know, you can't be competitive as an employer if just a few workers at a workplace are skilled. You need to have everyone be skilled. So everyone has a stake in making sure that all kids have high skills. Now, preschool is not the only way to do that. Obviously, there are things we do in the K-12 system and in the higher education system that affect skills. So I'm not claiming that preschool solves all the problems, but it is one of the areas that we know from research has one of the highest bang for the buck for any kind of investment we might want to make in skills development.
As you noted, there's been some pushback. Some people have questioned some of the research. You have a cartoon in here, which illustrates the point that I've heard you make before, which is we can say more definitively that high-quality preschool works than we can say third grade works. And that's because we have a control. I mean, everybody goes to third grade, but not everybody goes to preschool. That's how we can do that research a little better, right?
Right. And we have both random assignment experiments where we flipped a coin and said to some kids, you're not going to go to preschool, which obviously we can't do with third grade or with many other school programs. And we also have some natural experiments where preschool access has varied for reasons that have nothing to do with other factors that might affect success. Yeah, there's been some pushback. I mean, obviously, as you try to expand something, there are always going to be skeptics out there or people who are concerned about the money, legitimate concerns. I mean, anytime you make an investment, you need to make sure it pays off. I want to emphasize, though, I think it's a broad consensus of the research literature that preschool works. So it's not just me saying it or a few researchers. This is the broad consensus of most researchers on the topic. The pushback comes from a few researchers who have taken a position that, yes, preschool works in some places, but maybe it doesn't work on a large scale. And on the whole, I think the research evidence, though, shows that preschool does work on a large scale. We've seen success, for example, in Tulsa and Boston and Chicago, where we have large-scale programs run by typical public school agencies in those cities.
But the two things you bring up there, I suppose, lead to kind of the next question. Those two things being, one, questions about how well it works broadly, and two, as you say, questions about how much money to spend, which I guess leads us to, is it better to perhaps target programs for economically disadvantaged families, or is it better to have a universal program which would provide preschool, perhaps publicly funded preschool, to everybody or a broad swath of the population?
Well, it's very important to have quality, and the issue, you know, there is an issue of cost. So let's talk about a couple items. First of all, how much are we talking about in terms of cost? So if we wanted to do universal preschool, that essentially would cost about 4% of what we spend on K-12 education. 4%, less than $1 compared to over $25 for K-12. And out of overall taxes, we're talking about an increase in overall federal, state, and local taxes, less than 1% of overall federal, state, and local taxes. So it is billions of dollars, but we're in a big economy. And so when you look at it in terms of either overall taxes or in terms of what we spend on K-12, it's not that much. Then there's the question of, should it just be for low-income kids or should it be for middle-class kids? Well, first, the evidence from both Tulsa and Boston is that preschool works almost as well for middle-class kids as for low-income kids. Now, why might that be the case? One, preschool is something that, on their own, parents have trouble delivering those benefits. I mean, a lot of the benefits of preschool is kids learning soft skills, social skills, things like how to get along with the teacher, how to get along with their other students. Skills which are very important in determining adult economic success. I mean, those are the kind of skills on the workplace that employers are looking for. Can you get along with customers, coworkers, supervisors? So it's kind of hard for a parent on their own without some kind of preschool experience to teach those soft skills. Now, parents, of course, can use private preschool, but high-quality preschool is expensive. Full-day preschool for one school year, if it's going to be high quality, have good teachers, reasonable class sizes, costs close to $10,000 a year. Now, that's something that's hard for even middle-class parents to afford. $10,000 a year for a program that's 6 hours a day for 9 months a year, that's a pretty hefty price tag. So I think if you really want to make preschool accessible to a broad group of Americans and not just the rich, you're going to have a universal program. A universal program also has some other advantages. We know that low-income kids in particular benefit from positive peer effects if they're in income-integrated programs. I mean, if you're setting up a school, ideally you don't want it to be 100% low-income kids. I mean, not that you can't have a good school in that situation, but it's more challenging. And the positive peer effects of having income-integrated preschool are significant. There are a number of studies showing that income-integrated preschool can be more successful. And finally, I think as a practical matter, there are some political arguments that if middle-class as well as low-income families have a stake in the quality of the local preschool program, you're going to have a broad range of political forces that are going to push to maintain quality. So, you know, I think you could, you know, talk about targeting this if you're short of resources, if you don't have enough money to serve everyone. And I think that's a reasonable point. But I think the economic benefits are likely to be greater if we include the middle class. The peer effects are going to be better if you include the middle class. And the political pressure to maintain quality will be much better if we include all income groups, not just the poor.
Voters in Seattle approved a property tax levy on Election Day, which is going to subsidize preschool in that city. When you look at something like that on a citywide basis, do you view that as a step in the right direction? Or do you think in order for it to be fully effective, programs have to be perhaps at the state or even beyond that, a regional, federal level?
Well, I'm pretty pragmatic about it. It can happen at any level. I mean, I don't think that preschool necessarily has to be funded at the federal level. And in fact, given the stuff that's on the federal government's plate these days, dealing with health care, the Social Security system, defense, et cetera, I'm a little skeptical that, in fact, we're going to see a major federal government investment in preschool. So I think it has to come at the state and local level. And that's where traditionally education has been mostly funded in the U.S. And it's been a mixed responsibility. In most states, there's a mixture of local and state revenue going into this. Now, in Michigan, we're a little unusual because it's really state-dominated, but there, you know, still is some local tax revenue from property taxes that goes into schools. So I guess I would say, depending on the state, we need to have some mixture of state and local initiatives to fund this. And, you know, in the case of Seattle, they decided to move ahead. In the case of New York City, they recently have moved to universal preschool. But in other cases, Oklahoma, the whole state adopted universal preschool. Georgia, pretty much the whole state moved to universal preschool. So the situation differs quite a bit in different state and local areas.
You mentioned that quality is important. What are the things that policymakers should be looking for in a preschool to ensure that it is of suitable quality to get the benefits that you're talking about?
Well, I think the key thing in all the studies that everyone agrees on, ultimately it depends on the quality of the interactions between the preschool teacher and the students. What's going on in the classroom? Are kids just sitting down? Are they engaged in play? Is the teacher asking the right questions to engage students' minds as the students are playing with the various stations in the classroom and interacting with the other children? So it depends on the quality of that teacher-student interaction. That's something that we can actually measure, and there have been a number of studies doing that. So I think in order to ensure quality, one, we need to try to have classroom observers regularly come in and look at the quality of the classroom. We need to have teacher coaching programs where we have experienced teachers work with those teachers on improving the quality of what goes on in the classroom. And I think we need to have adequate teacher pay so that we can attract and retain quality teachers. There's a lot of controversy over one element of preschool. Should you require that all preschool teachers, you know, have a teaching certificate and with an early child education credential? And there are studies that find that that's important, studies that find it is important. They disagree. It is the case, however, that the programs with the greatest evidence of success have tended to employ credentialed teachers paid public school wages. So that's true of the Perry Preschool Program, which has been much studied, and it shows very high adult benefits. It's true of the Chicago's preschool program, which also shows very high adult benefits. True of Tulsa's preschool program, Boston's preschool program, which shows very high benefits. All of those programs basically employ credentialed teachers paid public school wages. So I think if we want to be more sure that the program is effective, we should be employing certified teachers paid public school wages, at least for the lead teacher. And all this, of course, implies a certain amount per student. You're not going to get a quality preschool program that's too cheap. What do we need? The studies indicate somewhere between $4,500 and $5,000 per student for a half-day program, somewhere between $9,000 and $10,000 for a full-day program might be about what it would cost if you really want to have, you know, reasonable class sizes. And if you want to pay salaries, you don't want a situation where all your best teachers are constantly leaving to get a job teaching kindergarten or first grade. High teacher turnover in preschool is not good for the students.
You want to find high-quality teachers who want to stay in these jobs, that they enjoy the preschool experience.
Well, themselves. I think there are enough people like that out there. The issue is, can they make enough to support their families? And, you know, it's understandable if people are being paid peanuts that they might, after teaching a few years in a preschool, if all of a sudden a kindergarten or first grade job opening popped up and they had the credentials to get that job, they might leave. But if you pay competitive salaries, you can retain those people. And we know from numerous studies of teaching that experience, at least for the first 10 years or so of teaching, definitely pays off, that a fifth and sixth year teacher will, other things equal, be more effective than a first year teacher. So high teacher turnover is not good for the quality of K-12 or the quality of preschool.
Michigan has moved in the direction of expanding access to preschool. We've talked to you about this in the past when it has happened. Where does Michigan start to measure up now in terms of what other states are doing? Are we middle of the pack, better than that?
Well, we've had a very good expansion. So basically, Michigan 2 years ago had about 21%, one in five, of Michigan four-year-olds were in the state-funded preschool program. As of today, that's expanded to about 33%, one in three. So from one in five to one in three. That's a significant increase. Now, in terms of the national average is about 28%. So we've moved from below the national average to above the national average. On the other hand, in terms of access, we're still behind the leading states. In Oklahoma, which I've mentioned several times, because they have a very good universal preschool program, which surprises people given the stereotype.
Conservative
might
nature
be
of the state.
Very conservative state. About 75% of four-year-olds in Oklahoma are in state-funded preschool. So essentially, they have universal access. When you combine that with Head Start, which is another 10 or 15% of students, that's about 90%. And then there's some private preschools. And some parents, of course, choose not to have their kid in preschool. It's voluntary. Universal doesn't mean compulsory. It just means universal access. So Oklahoma, you know, is a leading state. And there are another seven or eight states that have more than 50% of their four-year-olds in state-funded preschool. So Michigan is still well behind those states in access. And the other concern I have about the expansion is I have concerns about whether or not, as we're expanding the program, are we doing enough to maintain the quality? I mean, Michigan's program has been rated high for quality in the past. There are some very good studies showing that the program has strong effects, not just on kindergarten readiness, but on school dropouts, school performance, and a variety of indicators. So Michigan has had a good program, but the program used to be a lot better funded per student. I mentioned you need close to $5,000 per half-day slot, $4,500, $5,000 per half-day slot. Michigan's program is currently below $4,000 per half-day slot. And in the past, in the 1990s, if you adjust for inflation, we were more in the range of the funding level you would need. So I have some concerns about whether we have enough funding to attract and retain quality teachers on a consistent basis in the program, especially as we expand it. And I also think that as we expand the program, we need to be doing more in terms of support service. I mentioned teacher coaching. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that the most effective way of upgrading the quality of teaching is to have very good teachers work one-on-one in the classroom with new teachers or with teachers, any teachers who need some assistance in improving. And I think the state should be investing more funds in that. Now, I should say in Kalamazoo, I serve on the board of an organization, KC Ready Fours, that in fact provides such teacher coaching. I mean, so it's something I believe in, and it's something that is a very valuable service to help upgrade preschool quality.
Will those benefits of high-quality preschool that you've talked about diminish over time if there is not also quality K-12 schooling and then quality higher education beyond that?
Oh, I think there's a synergy between all this. So I think that, you know, none of this, arguing for preschool is not arguing that we should disinvest in K-12 or in higher education. In fact, there's some evidence that there's a synergy, that the rate of return to investing in preschool is higher if you invest in K-12 and vice versa. However, I should mention that even when the K-12 system has problems, that investing in preschool can pay off. So for example, I mentioned that one of the really good studies of high quality preschool is of Chicago's Child Parent Center program, which is a preschool program. And that program showed that it increased adult earnings by about 8%, even though 100% of its participants went on to go through their K-12 experience in Chicago Public Schools. Now, with all due respect to Chicago Public Schools, I think the school system has a lot of challenges, and no one would claim they've solved all their problems. So even when you're in a urban school district with challenges, preschool by itself can make a big difference. Of course, it would make an even bigger difference if we simultaneously had more high-quality preschool and also improved the K-12 system.
I want to talk a little bit more about the spillover benefits that you write about in this book. And I think there may be some people who think that, well, it's all well and good to send people to high-quality preschool, but if we're in an economically depressed area at the end of their schooling, someone's going to come out and there's only going to be so many jobs available. You make sort of a counter argument to that.
Well, the counter argument is, contrary to what people think, people don't all leave the area. Most of the studies show that 60% or more of the people who spend their early childhood in a state will stay in that same state as adults. And that percentage, by the way, is no lower for Michigan than for other states. I mean, it is true we have slow population growth, but that's mostly due to lower in-migration than to higher rates of out-migration of people who spent their early childhood here.
So the idea that most people will stay in the state where they grew up is pretty broad across the states regardless.
Just about every state. Obviously, some very small states, Rhode Island's a little smaller, Wyoming's a little smaller, you know, but it doesn't vary as much as you might think across the country. And so if you invest in preschool, 60% or so will stay in the state. And what does having a lot more people with skills do to an economy? It encourages companies to locate there. It encourages companies to expand. It means that companies that are in the area are more competitive, more productive, which means they can afford to pay higher wages. So there are going to be these huge spillover effects. Again, you know, so the question I ask, you know, in a cynical way, some people might say, why should I invest in other people's children? And of course, you can give ethical reasons why you should do that. But there's also an argument from enlightened self-interest. If we invest in all children, that will make the entire skill base of the state and local economy better. And that will attract and grow more jobs and better jobs. Employment rates will be higher, wage rates will be higher, and they will be higher even for people who would have been fine without any preschool. I mean, maybe you have enough money, you can send your kid to a great private preschool. You don't need any of these publicly supported preschool programs. But your kid is going to be better off in the long run because other participants in the economy have higher skills, because that will affect the whole business climate of the area. We sometimes define business climate as just being business taxes and incentives. But it's a lot more than that. I mean, a key element of the business climate is the quality of the local labor force. That's affected by many things, but one of the most cost-effective ways of doing it is high-quality preschool.
So if you had to take the various components of the economic conditions of the area, there's a lot of things that go into that. There's, as you mentioned, there's tax policy, there's roads and infrastructure, and then there's education. Is education as important as those other two? Is it more important?
Well, I mean, you need, you know, if one area is absolutely terrible in some sense, there's a synergy between these elements too. I mean, you don't want to be absolutely terrible in any one of these elements. You don't want to have a horrible business tax structure or terrible roads and then say, well, we'll make up for it by having skilled workers. I mean, you have to have some reasonable quality of things. But I would say on the margin right now in our society, I suspect that some of the highest returns are in certain types of educational investments. I mean, we see that the economy, we see basically it's very difficult anymore if you don't get a good education to get a good wage. We see that the economy is basically signaling to everyone, education is very, very valuable. It's much more valuable than it was 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, the market is trying to tell us something. Education is very valuable. We need to invest in it. Now, we need to invest in a smart way. Education is inherently expensive because it's a human service. It involves people delivering services. We haven't yet invented robots that can deliver educational services much cheaper. Maybe we never will. So we need to be smart about how we invest and invest in education in areas that have a high bang for the buck. Preschool is one of them. I think there are other things in K-12 and higher ed that are high bang for the buck. But preschool is something that we have already tested. We know it works. We've tested it not just at a small scale, but a large scale in diverse situations, Oklahoma, Chicago, Boston, all over the country. And therefore, it's something that, you know, in my view, it's very straightforward. We should be investing a lot more in this. This should be attracting support not only from people in the education field or people in the early childhood field, the preschool field, the social workers of the world, the bleeding hearts of the world, whatever. It should be attracting attention from the business leadership. And it has attracted attention from business. There's considerable business support for investment in preschool. For example, in, you know, nationally and also in this area, PNC Bank has done a lot to promote high-quality preschool. And there are other businesses that have done so as well.
I'm wondering sort of the hypothetical scenario here of approaching a policymaker, perhaps a state lawmaker, and saying to them, well, this is what the state really needs to invest in, is high-quality preschool. And this person being a politician who has to run for office every 2 years, seeing we're talking about investing in kids who are four, by the time they're going to get any benefit of this, I probably won't be in office anymore. Is there also some short-term benefit to investing in preschool?
Well, one short-term political benefit from the politician's standpoint is most of the public opinion polls show that when you question people and ask them, not only are you in favor of state and local government expanding preschool, but are you willing personally maybe to pay higher taxes for that? That preschool is one of the few things for which you tend to get a positive majority response. And we see that in votes like the one that took place in Seattle. Frequently, when it comes up for a vote, preschool often wins the vote, which is unusual among initiatives that increase taxes. There are short-term benefits. One of the short-term benefits that occurs is we know that preschool can significantly reduce special education costs. Special education is very expensive. It can cost up to $10,000 per kid per year. Now, you know, obviously preschool doesn't do anything to eliminate autism or severe disabilities. But what it can do is some kids who might have been assigned to special education because of significant language delays, problems with literacy, or because of significant behavioral problems, which are both things that you can end up being assigned to special ed. There are a number of studies that show that special education costs go down. And in fact, there are currently some demonstration projects around the country where people are trying to see whether they can use the special education cost savings to make preschool self-financing. They're actually doing little plans where, in order to pay for preschool, there's a bond that's issued, and investors who put money in the bond, and in return, they get some of the special ed cost savings later. The jury's still out on whether that will work. I mean, my own estimates are that indicate that special ed cost savings probably pay for somewhere between 50% of the cost of preschool and 150%. So I think there's some uncertainty as to whether special ed cost savings by themselves will pay for it. But that is a payoff that can occur within it depends what you mean by short term. It occurs within a 12-year period. I mean, you get the full savings of the whole cohort once the kids you've put in preschool at age four have gone throughout the K-12 system. So it takes you about 12 to 13 years to kind of max out the amount of payback you get. And then there are any number of studies, like I said, showing that preschool reduces crime. These are longer term things, but preschool probably eventually pays for itself down the road, and the savings on the criminal justice system, prison's very expensive, and increased tax revenue for more workers, more wages, reduced welfare spending, et cetera. So healthcare benefits, there are a lot of studies showing that preschool actually in the long run reduces healthcare costs that people, you know, why is that? Well, I mean, if you have higher educational attainment, higher employment rates, higher wage rates, you tend to be healthier for a variety of reasons.
Tim Bardick, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Tim Bardick is an economist with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Kalamazoo. His latest book is called From Preschool to Prosperity, The Economic Payoff to Early Childhood Education. The interview originally aired November 10th. Beginning in January, West Southwest can be heard twice on Mondays and Thursdays. You can still hear the show at 9:30 both mornings. And beginning January 5th, there will be a replay of West Southwest Monday and Thursday afternoons at 3:30. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.